Yes, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, Ewan Spence here. Welcome. It is the Fringe. It is the arts capital of Scotland, of the United Kingdom, of Europe, of the world, nay, the universe, given that we don't know any other fringes happening on strange planets that are hundreds of millions of light years away. Yes, if you want to know anything about the arts, if you want to do comedy, if you want to do music, if you want to do ballet, if you want to do slam dunk, elephant, basketball, poetry in a bouncy castle, I am pretty sure you will find it somewhere at the Edinburgh Fringe. I'm Ewan Spence here on Castle FM and the Podcast Corner, bringing you a flavour of the Fringe every day, right through on, well, until this Friday, actually, with a mix of guests, music, chat, and recommendations. Later on in the show today, fingers crossed, we will have the delightful sounds of Frank Sinatra pushing the Ofcom regulations to the limit. We will listen to Susie Bennett, who's trying to put her get her best dancing shoe on and get herself on Dancing on Ice. We will have Mr. Retiree himself, Ian Kendall, giving us advice on how to run our farewell tour in the style of Frank Sinatra, as he's well, yeah, we'll find out on that one. He's already throwing me daggers with his eyes behind the monitor, even though I can't see him. I can feel them. We'll have music as well coming up from a number of genres. But just now, we're going to have, I don't know, can we say poacher turned gamekeeper as we welcome John Fleming into the studio?
Well, I've been coming since I was an embryo, because I used to have a great aunt who lived in Morningside, so I used to have free accommodation. And then about 5 years ago, they left, so I have to pay now. So it's horrible. Anyway, so I used to go to the film festival, then I went to the Fringe from about the mid-1980s. And since 2007, I've been arranging the Malcolm Hardy Comedy Awards for bizarre acts.
Now, where I first came across you was your book, which is, I've got to say, one of the best backstage blogs at the Fringe there is. I mean, there's lots of perfect writing in newspapers and magazines, but it just seems to be a stream of conscience for 3 weeks as you're getting other people into trouble.
Yeah, but basically other people do the work for me. I have been called the Boswell of alternative comedy, but I haven't found my Johnson yet. I don't know who that is. Could be Lewis
well,
Schaefer or something.
Yes,
someone.
If we need a Johnson, shall we call in Bob Slayer?
I mean, the Bob Slayer, yes, the naked Dr. Johnson.
Indeed. Yeah. Now, it's wrong to say you're part of that cable, but you look at every side of comedy at the Fringe, from the big theatres at the 800s and everything, right down to those small shows and the upcoming comics.
Yeah, I tend not to be interested in the big star names. I'm more interested in the sort of the people that no one has ever heard of, or the talented people who are going to become famous, or the people who are so bizarre they're never ever going to become famous in any way at all. Basically mad people, basically.
So where does this love come from?
Well, I was a mate of Malcolm Hardy, who was called the godfather of alternative comedy, who liked bizarre acts himself. He ran various clubs. He was in as an agent manager at the early days of alternative comedy in the 80s, and he sort of started everyone's career off, like Joe Brand or Paul Merton, all these sort of people. But he did like a bit of nudity, and he did like a bit of bizarreness. And we got to be chums, because we shared the love of the bizarre.
And, of course, we lost Malcolm, tragically, a couple of years ago, but his name still lives on up here.
He does, because he died in 2005, and in 2007 I started the Malcolm Hardy Comedy Awards, because I thought, well, if I start Comedy Awards, I'll be able to get free tickets to every comedy show in Edinburgh for 10 years. 10 years, because I actually had 10 years' worth of trophies built, and I thought Malcolm would like me getting free tickets to everything.
So what happens when you run out of trophies?
I stop. Or bank robbery is an option, I think. I had 10 years of trophies made, because I thought, well, if I really go to on death's door financially, I wouldn't be able to do any more. But if I'm okay, I'll make some more trophies. I've no idea. I don't think ahead.
Cool.
Is this the way to go?
We'll ask you.
Let me interrupt you.
We'll ask you in 2016 to come in and show us the brand new trophy and the unveiling and everything. But you know, the award scene at Edinburgh is always one that, you know, everybody talks about, and there are very strong views on, you know, there are still people who call it the Perrier, which is going to be a problem for the Sony Radio Academy, because it's not Sony anymore, but everybody still calls them Sonys. Okay, still don't have one. But you have these words that sort of stratify comedy into different groups, and a lot of people don't appreciate the sort of commercialism that the award scene can bring in.
Sadly, not for me. I only wish people would pay me money. Well, interestingly, Adrian Truscott, who does her show at the moment, Naked from the Waist Down.
This is one of the Wow Wow Sisters.
She was and is a Wow Wow Sister. They're doing the Wow Wow Sisters as well. But this is a solo show, the name of which I can't remember, but it's basically a serious show about rape, done as a comedy, and she does it naked from the waist down, with some interesting, I don't want to give it away, but some interesting effect. And she's interesting because she sort of straddled performance art and comedy. And at the beginning, as I said in my Fringe blog only last week, I think. At the beginning, the performance art people said, oh, no, she's not performance art, she's comedy. The comedy people said, oh, no, she's not comedy, she's performance art. But when she was very successful and you can't now get a ticket, they each said, oh, no, she's ours, she's ours. But she's interesting in that she straddles sort of performance art and comedy, which a lot of acts who are usually unsuccessful do, like The Greatest Show on Legs, which Malcolm was in, which was basically a performance art comedy show, but people just remember the naked balloon dance.
There's a lot more to that as well. And, of course, the balloon dance still lives on. I seem to remember it being dragged out last year at the awards.
It gets dragged out every year at the awards. In fact, Martin Soane, who actually started the balloon dance with Malcolm, is coming out specially just to do it.
Oh, bless.
I know, bless him.
Now, other shows. This one looks new and interesting, and this is why I kind of meant poacher turned gamekeeper, John Fleming's comedy blog chat show.
Yeah, so around about 2010, I was involved in the world's worst movie called Killer Bitch, and I thought as a way to publicise this, I should do a blog. So I started doing a blog, and then I also thought, well, if I do that, also I'll be able to build up to the following August when the Malcolm Hardy Award, the increasingly prestigious Malcolm Hardy Award show is on. And so I did it originally to plug those two things, then it just kept going, and then I thought I'd better do it daily, because that way people will know it's there. And I seem to have got myself into this thing where I write a daily blog, mostly on comedy, but not totally. And I thought this year, well, no, I didn't think this year, that's complete
Belgium.
That's complete Belgium, yes. Bob Slayer said to me, why don't you put on a chat show with Kate Copstick every day of the Fringe? And I said, are you completely mad? That'll take up so much time I won't be able to breathe. So I beat him down to 3 days, and then he beat me up to 5 days. So I'm doing it this Monday to Friday at the Fringe with their comedy guests. It's taking place in Bob's Bijou residence, the bookshop, just off Nicholson Street.
And for those of you who are listening on the stream, it's fine, you'll be able to get that. It starts today at 3:30. For those of you who are listening on the FM, honestly, John is going to run up from Leith and manage to get to the Bob's Bookshop on College Street in 9 minutes.
My body is my temple.
There we go. And, of course, everybody listening on the podcast, it runs right through until the 23rd. And, as always, details are back on our website.
So today, in fact, we got Kate Copstick talking about her Sarah Millican firestorm. She said allegedly said some rather uncomplimentary things about Sarah Millican, which got the sisters in a right tiz.
I did see that. And this is what I love about your blog. You're finding those smaller, more interesting things that have been pumped up by the PRs and pushed out. And go, oh, look, somebody fainted in our horror show. Has anybody asked Sarah yet?
No, I don't think so, no.
Oh, that would be too easy, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that'd be too easy. Yeah. And she's probably just too busy eating cakes or something.
Yeah.
So she'll be defending herself on that story. And also Arthur Smith's going to come on the show to talk about the early days of The Fringe, about Malcolm Hardy. And our show lasts from 3:30 to 4:30. He's got a train to catch at 5 o'clock from Waverley. So the entire audience will be pursuing him down the streets to Waverley Station and waving him goodbye with luck.
And you also, I know that you went on Arthur's increasingly well-known, but everybody forgets about it, tour down the Royal Mile.
Oh, yes, it's increasingly. Yes, every year he does a sort of faintly fake guided tour down the Royal Mile, which it seems to me every year gets slightly shorter. I think it might be something to do with age. And so we encountered various things like a man in a three stories up who was playing Leonard Cohen out a window, a princess who wanted to kiss everyone. I think it might have been Karen O. Novak. And he was offering prizes along the way for people doing various things like singing songs topless, male or female. Sadly, the person who did it was male. But
still had a wonder bra.
He had very good tits, I have to say.
Indeed, yeah. So, for those people who are listening, what is still so far the undiscovered bit of comedy at the Fringe? If somebody said, tell me something that I'm going to go away and remember for the next year from Edinburgh, what experience would you point them to?
Well, probably Adrian Truscott with her bottomless show, but then you can't get in. There are no tickets going. They're all taken up. I like Johnny Sorrow, although he's an acquired taste. Johnny Sorrow was a Malcolm Hardy, increasingly prestigious Malcolm Hardy Award winner 2 years ago, and he's still absolutely wonderful, but very surreal. I would have thought you have to know your comedy, like New Faces and who the stars were in the 1980s and 1970s to appreciate him, but the 20-year-olds loved him.
Mm. Well, maybe they'll go away and Google Norman Collier. You never know.
You mean not,
See, the problem is, when you do that one, everybody just thinks, oh, the station's playing up again. Because they haven't Googled Collier. Anyway, there we go. John, remind us once again where your blog is, because so people can keep up to date with everything that's going on.
My blog, you just have to put it into the internet, blog.thejohnfleming.com. Fleming has one M. blog.thejohnfleming.com. And my website is www.thejohnfleming.com. That's because there are so many bleeding John Flemings around the world, I have to be the John Fleming.
Yeah, it's not like we'd ever have any guests in here who have problems with other people taking their names. How are you doing over there, Ian?
Fine.
Yeah, we'll get to you in a second. John, delight to have you, and thank you very much for popping down.
Thank you very much
for saying you were bringing the sun, and I'm looking at the window, and for the first time in 2 weeks, we actually can't see any blue. We can just see clouds out of the window, so thank you for that.
And they said there was sunshine on Leith.